It does, because tritium, that's a radioactive form of hydrogen, by the way, and that's why it gets into water, H2O. It does. Tritium moves through the soil more readily than some of those other radioactive substances, so you often see it first, and then there are lots of cases where you see other more powerful radioactive substances that do more health harm in equal amounts after you see the tritium. You're right, that's part of why the tritium is a concern.
Can you name names of plants? For example, let's talk New York. What's outside of New York City, of tens of millions of people, the plant and where it stands today?
Well, they've had... There are so many problems that it's hard to enumerate them all. But for example, they've had radioactive leaks from the spent fuel pools at Indian Point. The spent fuel pool is where they keep the radioactive fuel after they've used it in the reactor, and that fuel remains thermally hot and radioactive for years to come, so you have to keep it cool, just like the fuel in the reactor. And they've had leakage from that spent fuel pool at Indian Point, which is about 25 miles north of New York City. We know how important the spent fuel pools are in a different context in Japan at the Fukushima Daiichi plant, because a lot of the radioactivity that was released in the air there was from the spent fuel pool. So there's been a lot of focus on the spent fuel pools recently, and even the chairman of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Gregory Yasko, has hinted recently that maybe we do need to look at the spent fuel pools in the United States and how securely we're keeping the spent fuel pool.
And what about evacuation plans? I mean, at places like Indian Point, and you can go around the country.
Well, that's something that we'll be saying more about on Monday, and a story that's coming out on Monday. And I don't want to get ahead of my employer, but I can tell you that we'll have a lot to say about how much population growth there has been around the 65 commercial nuclear power sites in the United States over the last 30 years. We did a historical mapping analysis with mapping software, and where the evacuation plans that communities must make for evacuation if it's necessary around the plants, where they have weaknesses and where they haven't kept up to date with the population growth.
Jeff, your articles also talk about the problems with the reactor vessels that enclose the reactors, and you found major problems as well there. In the documents that you obtained, the monitoring documents that you obtained from the government?
Yeah, it's real interesting. One of the biggest areas of aging difficulties has been in so-called embrittlement of the steel around the reactors. And what that means is that if you bombard something with neutrons from a chain reaction, like the one that goes on inside these reactors, if you bombard steel with neutrons for years and years, it gets more brittle. And as it gets more brittle, like say a reed from the beach that maybe you brought home, and it gets brittle, when it undergoes a force, it's more likely to suddenly shatter, to break. And the reactor vessels are like that. The vessels are these gigantic steel tubs that surround the chain reaction, the radioactive fuel, and they provide a shield from it, and they hold it, they keep the area around it safe. And so over the years, they've got increasingly brittle. There was even one reactor in the early 1990s, the Yankee Row reactor in western Massachusetts, that had to be closed, largely because of concerns about its vessel getting brittle. And fairly early on, actually, in the industry's history, government and regulators started to notice that reactors were approaching the embrittlement standard for the vessels and, in some cases, even violating that standard. And instead of saying, what can we do to get the reactors back within the standard? Is it possible to do a process called annealing that would make them less brittle? Is it possible to replace them? What the industry and the government did is they launched another round of research and decided, you know what, we can back off a little bit on the standard and allow the vessels to become more brittle. And that's continued. There was a second round of this that's taken years that culminated in the last year or two, where they raised that safety standard again. Again, the same pattern, saying we didn't need to be so strict. In other words, we didn't need to be so safe. It's safe enough. Because the government and industry argue that for all the changes, the reactors still remain safe. Maybe not as safe as they were before, but plenty safe. That would be their argument.
And we're now going to hear a radio adaptation of a haunting film, Into Eternity, on the world's first long-term nuclear storage repository. Compare and contrast the integrity of the Finns, who said, "This is Finnish nuclear waste, we will dispose of it in Finland," with the Lawrence Summers mentality, former chief economist of the World Bank. "Shouldn't we be polluting Africa more, shipping our waste over there, as we're in a rich country, so our lives are more valuable than those of the poor Africans, even without a legal system which has been bent to psychopathic control? The task of coping with such long-term nuclear waste is a formidable one." And this documentary, more than a lot of the facts, has been one which has helped me to reflect on just what a monumental task it is to try and bury something and keep it safe for thousands of generations. Now, I've included a few sound bites from the nuclear power industry. Thanks for some of them to Chaz K of Virtual Renderings, and thanks for the audio.
I would say that you are now on a place where we have borrowed something from you to protect you, and we have taken great pain to be sure that you are protected. We also need you to know that this place should not be disturbed. And we want you to know that this is not a place for you to live in. You should stay away from this place, and then you will be safe.
I am now in this place where you should never come. We call it Onkelo. Onkelo means hiding place. In my time, it is still unfinished, though work began in the 20th century when I was just a child. Work would be completed in the 22nd century, long after my death. Onkelo must last 100,000 years. Nothing built by man has lasted even a tenth of that time span. But we consider ourselves a very potent civilization. If we succeed, Onkelo will most likely be the longest lasting remains of our civilization. If you, sometime far into the future, find this, what would it tell you about us?
Once mankind started to use nuclear power to generate electricity, it was obvious that we will also generate some waste, which has to be treated so that it doesn't harm anybody. And you can't make nuclear waste go away. You cannot make nuclear waste harmless. So several ways how to get rid of the waste were explored. Send it in the rocket out to the sun. It disappears. It will never make harm to anyone. How to ensure that the rocket doesn't explode on the launching pad or sinking it to deep sea? We would never be able to claim that we can safely put something into the bottom of the oceans, because still we have an impression that the oceans are really the mother of all life. It's not a safe way of handling spent nuclear fuel or radioactive waste.
How much waste exists in the world today? Totally.
I'm not quite aware. I would say between 200,000 and 300,000 tons, somewhere between these two.
We already have enormous amounts of nuclear waste all over the world. If this waste spills out into nature, it'll cause death and destruction. Large areas will become uninhabitable for a long, long time. Did that happen? Are there forbidden zones with no life in your time?
A 100 years ago, just 3 human generations ago, when radiation was first discovered, we didn't understand that it was very dangerous, but we noticed that it can be useful, and we started to work with it. Radiation is a sort of energy which can penetrate deep into your body and harm your health. But it is an invisible danger. We have no sense for it. You cannot see it, feel it, or smell it. And still, it may even kill you. Radiation then can be described as small packages of energy. And when they hit the genetic code, the DNA molecule, they can break it, split it. If you have a very, very serious whole body exposure, you don't feel anything until 1 hour or so afterwards, where you start to feel nausea and you may vomit and you may think you have got a food poisoning. And in between you may feel better, but only after 2 weeks you start to bleed, you have diarrhea and fever. And if after a few weeks you may even die from this. Radiation can also leave a trace in you. It can change the genes, mutate the genes. It will cause malformation or disease or dysfunction. So beware. Never stay in an area with an enhanced radiation level, and never ever touch upon a strong radiation source.
So we are storing the waste today above ground in water pools. The reason why it's kept in water pools is that water creates a shield for radiation. Radioactivity.
activity.
Keeping the waste in tanks, this is probably possible for the next 10 years, 20 years, 100 years, 1,000 years.
You just can't guarantee stable conditions above ground, for instance, for 100 years, let alone thousands of years. These storages, they need surveillance, they need power in order to cool the water pools, they need maintenance. But we can't keep this waste forever in the water pools. There has been two world wars during the last 100 years. The world above ground is unstable. We have to find a permanent solution, or a more safer solution in the long run.
My civilization depends on energy as no civilization before us. Energy is the main currency for us. Is it the same for you? Does your way of life also depend on unlimited energy?
What we must do is to take care of the waste from the nuclear power plants.
I think that more and more societies in countries who are using nuclear power are realizing that they also have to do something.
We obtain the energy. We have used the energy. Of course, it's our mission to also take care of the waste.
There is no way of doing nothing.
This is something which ought to be the responsibility of all citizens, irrespective of whether they like nuclear power or not. Linking the issue of nuclear waste with nuclear power could easily divert attention from the material which we have and must somehow handle in a responsible way, not to harm future generations.
A final disposal of spent nuclear fuel hasn't been implemented anywhere so far. We are kind of a forerunners in this field. And we are dealing with very, very long time frames, meaning that this repository should last at least 100,000 years.
A 100,000 years is beyond our understanding and imagination. Our history is so short in comparison. How is it with you? How far into the future will your way of life have consequences?
That's what we really want to prove, that we can isolate the waste from human beings and other life organisms for 100,000 years.
We have come to a conclusion that the bedrock, the Finnish bedrock, one 1.8 billion years old, is the medium that we can predict far to the future, at least 100,000 years ahead.
A very important factor for us is that the repository is self-contained. It shouldn't have to guard it in the future. It should just be able to be left. And that's a necessity because conditions on the ground will change. The conditions down in the rock will be stable and won't change. But on the surface, you never know what's going to happen. It could be wars. It could be an economic depression.
At surface, the clock runs very fast, while in the rock, it goes very, very slowly.
Yeah, it's the most stable environment we know of.
Olkiluoto in Eurajoki has been chosen as the site of the disposal facility for spent nuclear fuel. Onkalo.
Where are you now on the plan? Should be here somewhere. Then we start widening this area. More and more and more bigger area comes.
Like in a big cave or?
Yeah, imagine a big cave. It's like a big city underground.
The repository acts like a cocoon, if you like, or a Russian doll, where you have barriers which complement each other, so that if one barrier might fail, so other barriers still are able to mitigate all the consequences.
The final disposal facility will be constructed in stages and decommissioned in the 2100s.
When the entire tunnel is ready, a thick concrete closure is cast at the tunnel mouth.
We will fill the chambers of Onkalo with the nuclear waste from Finland, from just one little country in the north. After one century, we will seal Onkalo for all eternity. Just like the tombs of the pharaohs and the pyramids were sealed thousands of years ago, never to be opened again.
The safety of disposal shall not be dependent on any active management, on active surveillance or any acts of human being to be safe. So it has to be fully passive.
The repository will be closed down, it will be backfilled.
The idea of this backfilling is to return the conditions pretty much to those which prevailed before we excavated the tunnel.
There will be forests, there will be houses, hopefully there will still be people living, not perhaps exactly the same persons that were there from the beginning, but perhaps their children and grandchildren will still live and use the land. We always bring up the question of the Ice Age as some kind of a very dramatic change in the situation. And of course, it will have an impact. If we look at our assumptions, the scenarios, it will happen within 60,000 years from now.
So everything disappears disappears from here when the ice comes.
Everything gets frozen, the vegetation will die, and then this will be more like a tundra.
Would it be forgotten during an ice age? Yes, I think it would be forgotten in such a case.
If you were a person who were evaluating this concept from the outside, what would you be afraid of?
Nothing.
Once upon a time, man learned to master fire, something no other living creature had done before him. Man conquered the entire world. One day he found a new fire, a fire so powerful that it could never be extinguished. Man reveled in the thought that he now possessed the powers of the universe. Then in horror, he realized that his new fire could not only create, but also destroy. Not only could it burn on land, but inside all living creatures, inside his children, the animals, all crops. Man looked around for help, but found none. And so he built a burial chamber deep in the bowels of the earth, a hiding place for the fire to burn into eternity.
You are now in the tunnel. This place is not a place of honor. No esteemed deeds are commemorated here. You should not have come here. You are heading towards a place where you should never go. What is there is dangerous and repulsive. The danger will still be present in your time as it is in ours. Please turn around and never come back. There is nothing here for you. Go no further.
My personal belief is that no human intrusion will take place at any time scale ever.
Electricity. You flip a switch, the lights go on. But will we have safe supplies of electricity to meet our fast-growing needs? Today, nuclear energy provides 1/5 of America's electricity. Tomorrow, it could supply even more. And nuclear power plants don't emit greenhouse gases, so they preserve our environment.
You recognize that this could happen. That you might find and open Onkelo. We refer to that as human intrusion. We don't want this to happen because you may get hurt. But most of all, we are afraid of human intrusion because if Onkelo is opened, the waste will no longer be isolated from all living organisms, and we will have failed. In fact, we consider you the main threat to the safety of Onkelo.
If someone in the future is able to dig down to the repository, it will probably be a civilization of the same kind as we have presently. And in such a case, they will all also be knowledgeable to know that this is a radioactive material.
Yeah, I think that's the most probable scenario, but I'm not so sure. It could be another situation. I think if someone found a facility like that in the future, they might interpret it as something religious, a burial ground, or a treasure.
If we look at the pyramids, we cannot really say that we understand everything about the significance of their erection. But we can assume that this could be the same for our repository. It will be interpreted in the same way as we interpret the pyramids. There is no clear understanding, and it is quite possible that we will not be understood by the future, especially by the distant future.
What if someone finds the repository? How should they know what it is?
Well, they should have some measuring tools to measure the radiation.
What if they don't have that?
Well, then they have to make a chemical analysis.
But what if they can't do that?
Well, if they cannot do that, then they cannot do the drilling either.
We can look back and look at ancient civilization, and they have done remarkable things. And we can just go back and look at the mining industry in Sweden, and then they, in the 16th century, they went down several hundred meters.
We must realize that the future scenarios are not just about high-tech or very low-tech, like a Stone Age scenario. We have scenarios in the middle where people may drill, but they may not understand, they may not have the technology to understand what they meet.
And the Roman Empire was born, lived, prospered, and died. And similarly, also the West will go through the same kind of phases, being born, flourishing, developing, crumbling, and dying. What do we know about society in 300 years? Virtually impossible to say anything. We might expect society as we know it to exist for 50 years more or for 100 years. And if you are convinced of what will happen then, let's put the question on a 300 years, 500 years time. Then the darkness thickens.
We know that society changes very fast.
Could we imagine a society in the future where science and technology did not matter in the same way as it matters for us now? Well, that is, of course, entirely possible.
They might go up in technology, they might go down, and we don't really know. If we assume something in the future, they could go back to the Neanderthal.
I think that it's the changes that we will like get insured for.
The design and the construction and implementation has to be done so that that no knowledge is necessary for the future, so that it can be safe. Also, in that case, that people have lost the knowledge.
And we used to have a joke telling that when we start the digging for the repository, the first thing we will experience is a copper canister. Oh, exactly the same kind of that we want to place ourselves. Of course, you would start to think, well, there must be a reason for this.
You have the scenario of the hidden treasure. You have the idea that something is there and it is valuable, and people would start to dig for it. You could even have the scenario where people even know it is dangerous, but it's also valuable at the same time.
Could the waste also, in the future, have the value of gold or even more?
Well, just to answer the question honestly, yes. Yes, it could.
And it is a treasure. We must not... there's a lot of copper and also uranium, a lot of plutonium that could be valuable.
What is unpredictable, of course, is human behavior. That Who knows why people might come and drill a hole?
There must be a reason for someone to start to dig down to 500 meters in a just average, ordinary rock.
But what could prevent them from doing it?
I wouldn't know.
But could this reason be that the knowledge about what's there is incomplete?
Of course it could, yes.
What if there was a sign that said, don't drill here?
Well, that might be a case for, let's say, for a certain period of time at least.
What do you mean?
Well, if you put a marker, they are called markers.
So this is a concept or a thought that exists.
It's an idea which has been thought over, that an area where a disposal has been made could be marked using markers.
The obvious marker is an object with text on, just like a runestone.
This is, I think, is a typical marker where you see that you have messages repeated in different United Nations languages, general information about the area, and you have more detailed information also. And that in turn is part of a whole marker system, where you might have more detailed information yet if you went to another place in that same site. There would be a message kiosk, for instance. It is a more detailed message than the one on the monolith, and then you could go further on and have messages like a small library in carved rock, perhaps an underground.
What would be the content of the information?
To say that this is not an important place, it is a place of danger, and stay away from the site and not disturbing the site. These were the main messages.
We will leave written information for you in all the major languages of our time. Will you understand any of them? Can you read?
And that's, of course, a mind-boggling scenario. How do you communicate? We won't speak the same language, and we won't have the same symbols. I guess we have to find something very general.
This is where the cartoon comes in, where you have a low sophistication, but you have a robust message.
This is an attempt to give you a feeling rather than give you a detailed message. Intuitively, you would expect people to react to something frightening better than to a detailed message.
Forbidding blocks, a landscape of thorn, landscapes that would get you to feel that this is something which is wrong, this is something not inviting.
When you opened Onkelo, did you see landscapes of thorn? Did it make you hesitate? Or maybe curious? What drove you to enter? Was it the scars we left on the surface, or a rumor?
In the terms of emotional information, there was an interest in the picture of Edvard Munch, The Scream, to portray something that was negative.
It shows the feeling of despair, and it's very clear to the observer that this is not something good.
But do you think this will be clear at all ages, at all times?
I think it has a fair chance, yes, I do.
It's universal?
I think it is universal for humans.
We are not sure how to overcome the problem of leaving markers to warn you. Messages from long-lost civilizations were found in our times, but it took us many years to understand the language and the signs.
If it just puts something that is not completely understandable to the future people, then and they suddenly just they don't understand perhaps what it means, and then they just want to find out. People are curious.
We can take an example of the runestone in Norway that was found lying down, face down, and it has a requirement that no one should move this. It should not be touched by misguided men. But of course, this warning was not supported by archaeologists. They disregarded it completely. So this is a quite probable fate also of a marker for these distant futures.
If you put those markers there, it's not clear that they understand the point that it's dangerous. And even if they understood, they still may want to know what it is. But then there's the philosophical point that some people think that it would be better to forget. Because then by chance it would be less likely that anybody would hit exactly the repository.
It has been discussed to let the facility...
Yes, I guess there are two schools here. Those who think that you have to leave markers, as they are usually called, on the ground. And those people who say that it would be better to walk away and forget about the site.
Do you actually think that leaving markers creates a higher risk of intrusion?
Well, I would say so, yes.
Personally, I don't see the situation severe if the site would be forgotten over time.
But how is it possible to create oblivion and forgetting? How is it possible to make a facility like Onkelud disappear from...
Well, you say it. It's not very easy.
You get 20% cheaper electricity after 9 p.m. and at weekends. We'll help you cut your carbon footprint by up to 20% too. Save money and save carbon. Sign up to Eco 2020.
When the burial chamber was complete, man laid his new fire to rest and tried to forget about it. For he knew that only through oblivion would he be free from it. But then he started to worry that his children might find the burial chamber and awaken the fire from its sleep. So he bade his children to tell their children and their children's children too to remember forever to consign the burial chamber to oblivion, to remember forever to forget.
Some of the main principles included in legislation are firstly the limitation of burdens on future generations. So we should not impose undue burdens on future generations. Second principle is protection of future generations. That means that the safety level which should be afforded for future generations should not be lower than we are enjoying currently. And then third principle is that we should pass information about the repository to future generations.
Our law states that we must inform you about Onkelo. Maybe you will need to enter if we overlook something or if repairs are required. Were our calculations and assumptions accurate? Did we make mistakes? Is that why you are here?
But the question about the knowledge transfer, what does the law say about that?
It doesn't say, I don't think it says anything yet.
Are you sure about that?
No.
It is required in law that assessment is made over this time, but it's not popular with all. When many people react to it, they think it's too ambitious.
It requires that each generation will look that system is adequate. So
but that the legislation says that that STUK should pass on the information. It doesn't talk about generations.
It says that it should deposit the information in a permanent manner. So.
In a permanent manner, that's the exact phrasing.
Yes, good.
What do you think they mean by that?
Yes, I think you should ask them. Because we've just talked about the problems of that. Permanent is too strong a word to be used here.
And what about the people who work with these things?
They get the scientific disease, so to say. They are, it's all routine for them. They have a task.
But I don't really understand it, I think.
No, I don't think anybody does.
The responsibility is moved to the state after they have decided that this has been now done in an acceptable way.
So the Finnish state is responsible for passing on information into the future?
Yes, yes.
Does that mean that when you deliver the information about the facility, then you deliver the information in a way that is comprehensible for all future generations to understand?
No, there is no requirement of making that comprehensible for all future generations. It depends that it's in Finnish.
We have no archives with information on nuclear waste yet, but if we build archives, every future society and every future generation must maintain the information and update the language for you to understand. Can we count on continuation for thousands of generations into the future? What if people starve and suffer? What if there are wars or floods or fires? The archives have the same requirements as our interim storages, requirements we cannot guarantee. After all, this is why we are building Onkalo.
The point is that the safety of the disposal and the repository is not dependent on these records.
But then why is this law needed?
I don't know, but the legislators, they have decided that the record shall be handed over to state, but it doesn't say more than that.
So the idea is that the archive of today should last for a certain period, but then be renewed by next generations.
Yes, each generation should consider if the archiving method is appropriate for the future.
Do you think this will happen?
Yeah, I hope so, at least.
Can we learn anything from the past that may help us communicate 100,000 years into the future?
Usually when we look at these timescales, we go back in time. And obviously, you see, when you go 100,000 years back in the past, we come to our ancestors in Africa. And we also cover, as we go along, our ancestors in Europe, in the form of the Neanderthal man. And you would have to realize that we have very little in common. How would you make a parallel from people looking after a mammoth, hunting a mammoth with spears? It is difficult to explain to these people something with nuclear waste. We cannot assume that people or creatures in the future will really understand very much.
But is it also connected to that they might have different kind of senses that we have?
Yes, senses, appearances, needs, and knowledge. Everything goes away. There is no one true statement that will then survive.
Do you basically trust the future generations?
We are trying to do Onkalo as independent of human nature as possible, because we can't predict exactly how the humans will behave in the future.
Yeah, it's very difficult to answer that question, because trust on that aspect, so I can't say that I trust, but I cannot say that I don't trust.
It may be a complete open question whether that is a possibility that somebody will interpret anything at all in this time scale. I have to say that the quick answer is nobody knows anything at all.
If we cannot rely on markers and archives, how will you know? Maybe our legends will reach you by being told over and over from generation to generation, like ancient legends have reached us. Were you warned about Onkalo through legend? Did your parents tell you stories about the fire in the burial chamber, deep in the bowels of the earth? The chamber you must always remember to forget. Onkalo is our very first permanent repository for nuclear waste. But when Onkalo is sealed a century from now, it'll hold only a fraction of the waste we have. We must build many more Onkalos far from earthquakes and volcanoes to keep the waste away from the surface of the earth. We must build many more secret chambers that we hope to hide from you.
Building on a century of energy innovations, with passive safety systems that ensure more safety than any nuclear plant operating today, with nearly zero emissions of greenhouse gases during operation, introducing ESBWR, producing safer, cleaner energy.
Do you think it's reasonable to talk about a nuclear renaissance?
Many people seem to think so, and many politicians believe that nuclear energy is needed to curb the carbon dioxide emissions from electricity production.
But if we're going to take the people in China and in India to the same level as the Western countries in the next 20 years, you have to start three new nuclear reactors a day.
Spent fuel is considered as a material that could be reprocessed. It could be used again. We shouldn't reprocess the fuel due to the fact that it is such a case that the plutonium which is extracted in the reprocessing process could escape and be used for fabricating bombs.
Now there's been research into transportation in the hope that the waste could be, in a way, made harmless.
Is that a possibility?
Theoretically, yes, but in practice, probably never. It will never be able to do away with all the nuclear waste in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no way around nuclear waste?
At the moment, nobody's found any way around. If we want to use nuclear energy, then we will have nuclear waste.
I'm not so sure that nuclear energy is the solution. Maybe in a short time, and this is my personal view too, but I don't think it's sustainable in the long run, but maybe for the next decade, century.
Why do you think so?
Because we won't have enough uranium. It will be just like the oil. I think we all can agree that the oil isn't a sustainable solution. And we will come there with the uranium assets too.
Running out of energy sources could lead up to very unstable conditions globally, because those last energy sources will be competed, and it can even lead up to wars between nations.
The point with the permanent disposal is that it's permanent, and therefore it's put there underground permanently and you never change it.
We have coined the term decisions under uncertainty, and that is clear in the nuclear waste issue, that there are decisions under uncertainty.
When you do a project like this, you must state what you know, and you must state that you know what you know that you don't know, and also what you don't know that you don't know.
Could you now try and address the audience, I mean the future audience, the far future audience?
I personally have a strong belief that no human truth intrusion will take place ever into Onkalo. But if I'm wrong...
I would love to be able to meet you and to try to communicate with you.
This is probably the only testimony of our time.
You're now entering a repository with spent nuclear fuel from the 21st century.
It must be stored in a safe place.
This place should not be disturbed.
Don't go there. It's dangerous. It's radioactive.
You can't see it. You can't smell it.
Don't touch anything.
Go back up to the surface and take better care of our world than we did once.
And you will be safe if you stay away from it.
Good luck.
You have now gone deeper into the tunnel. And you have reached a place where you should never have come. Down here, radiation is everywhere. You do not know it, but something is happening to your body right now. It is beyond your senses. You feel nothing, you smell nothing. An invisible light is shining right through you. It is the last glow of my civilization that harvested the powers of the universe.
That won't be my end, for my guns and my saddle will always be filled.
This and all previous episodes of Unwelcome Guests are available for download as MP3s from unwelcomeguests.net/archive. Our theme music, Unwelcome Guest, is performed by Billy Bragg and Wilco, with lyrics by Woody Guthrie. Thank you for listening. Keep giving.